Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Wednesday, October 28th, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by the Ecomagination Challenge from GE. GE and its partners are awarding $200 million to ideas that help build the next generation power grid for the 21st century. For more information and to view and comment on ideas, go to ecomagination.com/challenge. And by Gazelle, the easy way to sell or recycle the used gadgets lying around your home or office. Don't just sell it, Gazelle it. For a 5% bonus payment for your used gadgets, go to gazelle.com, bonus code TNT. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Dr. Kiki.
And I'm Jason Howell.
And this is the show where we talk about technology news. We try to bring That's you the straight do, yeah. dope, the real stories.
As opposed to the crooked dope.
Real life.
No, we stay far away from the crooked dope. I learned that at a young
stay
age.
Stay away.
Microsoft having their professional developers conference, the PDC. None of these unprofessional developers who make, you know, off-color jokes are allowed in.
No,
or fart apps.
Only professionals allowed.
So at the conference, Microsoft announced that IE9 is nearly finished. They're putting out Platform Preview 6, which means they're really, really close to the release candidate. They think that with the 6th Platform Preview, quote, developers, designers, and partners are in a great position to prepare their sites for release candidates. So you can start testing your site on this preview. Also, a Twitter app for Windows Phone 7 is now out. Twitter announced it. It's official on the Twitter blog. You can check it out. You can download it for your Windows Phone 7, and it's designed specifically for Windows Phone, so it's got kind of a Windows Phone look and feel to it.
Yeah, it has like kind of the, it's, I guess, a little bit of that tile look, but...
Yeah. It's got that sensibility. Like the font fits in.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all nice. And, you know, for those Windows Phone users who have been looking forward to the official Twitter app...
Now you got it. Microsoft reported earnings for the first quarter also today. They were really good. 62 cents on revenue of $16.2 billion, essentially well over what analysts expected. Revenue was good at the Microsoft Windows division. Revenues at Microsoft Office rose. The Entertainment and Devices division, which includes Xbox, rose. Only money-losing division was the Online Services division. That's Live and Bing. But Bing's a loss leader for them right now. They're willing to pour some money down that hole. So
they're still hoping for it to grow and to develop into something that won't be so loss leading.
Overall, a fantastic quarter. So good things for Microsoft. Microsoft rocking it on the revenue. People are liking the Windows 7. They're digging the Xbox. The Windows Phone 7 got a little Twitter client love. IE9's looking good. It's a brand new Microsoft, right?
Yeah,
it's a kinder, gentler Microsoft.
Kinder, gentler. I don't know about that. It sounds like they're pretty much taking things by storm right now. We've been talking for so long about Microsoft as just kind of being stagnant.
Being Microsoft.
Yeah. And it's just it's been the butt of jokes for a while, but they've been saying this year over and over again, there have been stories saying, you know, we're going to come back. There are things that we're doing. You're going to be excited about this. And they really are. They're pushing it forward.
Yeah, we're going to go back and do some things we've done before, like battle Linux.
Yes, here comes the bad news.
Yeah, Microsoft. Microsoft's been doing this for a while. They claim they have patents that you need the license to use Linux. And they have very smartly not pulled a SCO and tried to take everybody to court. They've gone after people slowly. How about you just do a license agreement? Would you like to do a license agreement? You know you really ought to do a license agreement. So DigiTimes reporting out of Taiwan that Microsoft is talking to Acer and Asus Tech about paying a Microsoft license fee for the privilege of deploying Linux on tablets in the form of Android and Chrome OS. This is not going after Android on the mobile phone platform.
No, it's not
even going after Android on every tablet. It's two manufacturers. I think this is testing the waters to see if they can get away with it before they start going
really
after bigger
going
fish.
After more. Yeah, this effort is really just fascinating to me. Just picking out one platform, the tablet, and picking out these smaller manufacturers. You're like, okay.
Well, Acer isn't even that small.
Yeah, they're not going after
HP or something like that. Yeah.
Right, but they're not going after the huge fish.
Not that HP makes Android. But Dell puts Linux on desktops.
Yep.
So they could go after them, but no, they go after this. They're biting off little small chunks.
Yeah, it's interesting also. I mean, the question the Slashdot story brings up is, what does this mean for the person who puts together computers using... puts together a computer using Linux and then sells it to somebody? You're not, you know, actually, you're not a fish that's in the pond that Microsoft necessarily usually would go after.
Yeah.
But how does things like this affect you?
Well, you're probably worried a little bit about what's going to happen next, but I don't think you have to worry about anything right away.
Right.
You're too small for Microsoft. They're looking for the middle-sized fish to eat up. Samsung is supposed to announce the Nexus 2 on November 8th, or so saith AndroidAndMe.com. Engadget rounded up all the latest Nexus 2 rumors. British publication City AM says Nexus 2 is a car phone warehouse exclusive. And, of course, we've got this November 8th press conference that Samsung is having a November 8th press conference to announce a new phone. So it could be Nexus 2. Although Engadget points out that Eric Schmidt said back in July that Nexus 1 was an idea to try to move the phone platform hardware business forward. It clearly did. It was so successful, we didn't have to do a second one.
We're awesome. We never have to do this again.
It was such a spectacular, successful failure that we're just not going to ever try this again. But it doesn't say we'll never do one. So, between July and now, they could have changed their minds. Although one would think if they're ready to announce one on November 8th, they've been doing some work on this for a while.
For a while.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love the rumors, though. It's just always he said, she said, who said what, and the rumor from the Android and Me website, every person is speaking on anonymity. The article from Engadget is actually looking at people and what they've said from Samsung, so from Google.
I'm hoping there is a Nexus 2, because that would mean that Nexus will continue to come out, be named after a number, and eventually we'll get the Nexus 6, and it will be an Android.
And it will be an Android.
I, as a Blade Runner, will eliminate it.
What is different about this Nexus 2 potentially coming out with Samsung versus the Nexus 1 coming out with HTC? I mean, would it be that Google doesn't necessarily, in this case, if it exists... wouldn't necessarily have their hands in the hardware, and they could focus on just the Android OS part of it and leave the hardware.
But the Nexus 1 was the same thing.
Yeah, I know. This article kind of pointed that out, though, saying, you know, that it kind of opens it up, and it makes it easier for Google to kind of focus on the part that they really should focus on, which is the OS, and Samsung focus on the hardware. How is that even different?
That was no different from the last time.
Deal with HTC.
However, last time HTC was not brought in on it. Mm-hmm. There was no HTC press conference. There was a Google press conference, remember, in January.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So what this would mean, if it's a Samsung press conference, is they're actually pushing the marketing of it off on Samsung.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, because what they did before was like, HTC, please make the device, and then we'll handle everything else. So what they might be doing this time is, Samsung, please make the device and do the marketing, and we'll handle everything else.
Right.
which simply means doing the operating system and not allowing the manufacturer to customize it like Samsung does with the Galaxy S phones.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Yep. China, on the other hand, is making the world's fastest supercomputer. They have reached the top, replacing a United States supercomputer. The Tianhe 1A, released at a national conference on high-performance computers, made at a cost of over $88 million, is theoretically able to do more than 1 quadrillion calculations per second. That's 1 petaflop. At peak speed.
1 petaflop. No, peak performance, 1.2 petaflops.
Well, it's theoretically able to do 1 quadrillion calculations per second at peak speed.
Peak
performance reaches 1.206 petaflops, and it runs at 563.1 teraflops on the Linpack benchmark.
I used to do flip-flops in gymnastics.
I used to dream of a petaflop in a box. I think those days are still ahead of us. Anyway, congratulations, China, on top of the supercomputer world. A lot of people are freaked out by this. They think, what is this? China may be ahead of us in the technology race.
No, it means that they are using technology they got from the United States.
Is that really? You're going to play that card?
Very possible. I mean... there's just so much going on in terms of technology transfer, technology companies going over to China, the licensing agreements in order to sell technology products in China. There basically allows manufacturers in China to have access to how to construct everything that people in the United States have come up with. So it's not to say that they don't have the ability or the people to come up with their own stuff, and this probably is all their own work, but at the same time, there's a lot of work that's going on in China that is based on United States technology.
Well, it's not like China has all 10 of the top 10 supercomputers.
No, it had, this is
somebody's
one,
got,
and this is
yeah.
like... It's just great. Okay, China is a growing country. China is working in the technology field. They're pushing forward. They're going to be, they're trying to play this card that we're still a third world country while at the same time taking over the world. It just makes sense that they would get into this competition to have the fastest supercomputer.
Yeah.
Who's
going to
have the biggest,
the fastest? It's just disconcerting that when you're used to being the people that have the fastest supercomputer when you're not, and what many consider to be the U.S.'s biggest rival now has the fastest supercomputer.
Yep.
That's uncomfortable. Guys, competition's good for everything,
right? It's uncomfortable.
Right?
It's competition. Hey, maybe this is, instead of a space race, maybe the next race is going to be a...
Petaflop race.
Petaflop race, exactly.
There's also a environmental race going on, and this episode is brought to you in part by GE and the $200 million Eco-Imagination Challenge. A new program for GE for entrepreneurs, business innovators, and students. They have $200 million to invest in you and your great idea for improving the way energy is produced. There's three categories. First category is renewables. GE wants to encourage better ways to integrate renewable energy into our power grid. Got an idea for that? Even think you got an idea for that? You might want to investigate this. Energy that comes from wind, water, and sun. I need that stuff. The second investment category is grid efficiency. Instead of spending a bunch of money to improve the grid or rebuild the grid, figure out how to squeeze more out of the grid that we have. Some smart grid technology is needed there. Reduce waste, give more choices to consumers. And the third investment category is eco homes and buildings. That's energy consumption, saving people money on their bills, figuring out how to have a building not use so much energy. GE wants to help change how and when we use energy to lower energy costs. So if you have an idea in any of those three categories, they're making $200 million available to invest in great ideas like these. To learn more and read the ideas and comment on them, go to ecoimagination.com. That's ECOmagination, ecoimagination.com/challenge. And we thank GE for supporting not only Tech News Today, but Green Tech Today as well.
That's right.
Dr. Kiki hosting Green Tech Today.
With Becky Worley. It's a great show. We're coming up with our 25 green tech innovator companies that we're checking out. Going to tell you all about them, get an inside look.
Good stuff.
It's good stuff. Every Monday, people, subscribe. twit.tv/GTT.
Let's go from the good stuff to the mean stuff now. Oracle claims Google directly copied their Java code. If you remember, Oracle had said they were going to take Google to court. They'd filed a lawsuit. It was a little vague. Now they're saying that by amending the lawsuit that approximately one-third of Android's application programmer interface is derivative of Oracle's copyrighted Java API packages and related documents. In particular, the infringed elements of Oracle's America's copyrighted work include Java method and class names, definitions, organizations, and parameters, structure, organization, and content of the libraries, the class libraries, and the content and organization of the documentation, even your manuals. You stole our manuals.
It's pretty amazing that
So what did Google write? I mean, they stole stuff from Microsoft, apparently. They stole stuff from Oracle.
They wrote the book on stealing stuff.
Yeah, that's what they stole the manual on stealing stuff from Oracle.
You know what would be funny though is like the person who somebody who's working there as a developer at Google. What did they do? They Googled to see how they should set up the documentation. Oh, this looks like a great way to set up documentation. I'll do it this way.
Yeah. Anyway, Oracle picking a lot of fights these days. They've got a lot of lawsuits going on against a lot of different people, but this is the big one. They've picked on the big dog, Google.
Oh, yeah.
And we will see how Google responds to that. Nintendo posted their first half-year net loss in 7 years. They still think they'll end up profitable for the year, but the Wii has been kicking ass. It's been leading all the time in the console wars. I think there's only like 1 or 2 months that it's fallen into second place, and yet they're not making as much money because even though they're leading a smaller pack. Not as many people are buying consoles at all, or buying games, continuing to buy games and accessories, which is really where they make most of their money.
Right.
So it's not
it's
looking...
It's just the entire marketplace positive. Is dropping.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, we heard yesterday about holiday sales being low for electronics. This does not bode well. Games were supposed to be the recession-proof industry. That didn't prove to be true. Also, the yen is strong, which is hurting Nintendo as well in their exchange rate. What sells overseas doesn't bring them as much money anymore. Mm-hmm. Although it's great when they travel to have a strong yen.
It's great. We can do a lot of really great business.
Once they all get laid off because Nintendo goes out of business. But like I said, Nintendo expects to have an annual profit, although it will be an annual profit drop. They do still think they'll make money, but the 3DS isn't going to come out in the holiday season, so that's not going to
be after.
Them.
Yeah.
Facebook has announced friendship pages.
Oh, great.
Would you like to be on a friendship page with me, Kiki?
I guess I will be.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what you think.
Not.
If we've ever had a conversation on Facebook, we'll have a friendship page. That's the idea. Is that you can pull up a page based on a conversation between two people. So if Kiki and I have posted on the same thread or we've exchanged comments on our walls, you can pull up a Kiki and Tom page and it'll show you all of the things we've said to each other. And I guess this was created by at one of those Facebook hackathons that they have by a developer who just wanted to see like how his friend's relationship had developed over time. Once they ended up getting married, he was like, oh, I want to look back and see like them talking about the first time they went out on a date, when they met and all that stuff. It's all recorded on Facebook.
It's
I
all
look
in
at
there.
It.
How can you look at it? It's innocuous in how it's been inspired, how it was inspired, and where it's come from. They're not rolling it out yet to people, but we'll see how people react to it in terms of the privacy, the friends of friends part of it is where it gets a little tricky, because if you're
or if you unfriend someone,
right? If you unfriend someone, you've had
you see the whole roller coaster
connection.
Yeah. This is one of the fallouts of living your life in public.
Yep.
Everyone's living their life in public these days.
And it's true. I mean, everything you do online is stored, and there's, like Facebook, there's a database.
Yeah.
It's in there in a database, and that's data that can be parsed in any manner that someone can think of. So whether or not it's Facebook or just information that's out there freely on the web, somebody can come up with something like this and put your whole life out there, your relationships with other people on the web for anybody else to see without your permission.
Google is shifting their TV effort over to YouTube. This is the Google TV effort over to the YouTube division. Some industry observers speculate the move is a response to negative reaction to the new internet television service. Not from me, although I wasn't that impressed personally when I plugged it in.
Yeah, I'd love to hear what you've thought about it.
From Fox and NBC and CBS, particularly CBS and ABC are blocking video. So if you set up your Google TV and then you try to go in the browser to those channels, you get this content is blocked on your device. You can't watch it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Which still to me, it's just the kind of backwards. It's because they're afraid that they're going to lose money because there's less money online than there is in offline, either cable or just over the airwaves advertising on television.
Yeah.
Which is still strange to me because you can quantify numbers on the internet where you still can't quantify numbers for regular television. So there's still some backwards thinking in the broadcasting industry when it comes to this stuff, but it's not surprising to me that the big networks are blocking this stuff and that they're not allowing it to happen.
So if you want to convince the big networks to do something that's scary to them, you need some people who have experience talking their language, and YouTube has that. Ever since the Viacom suit, YouTube has made it their mission to bring people into the tent and show them how they can benefit them and make money for them. So it makes sense that Google is shifting this. If that's the problem, shift it over to YouTube.
Hey.
At least they have a shot.
Hey, I'm not Google. I'm YouTube.
Oh, that, yeah. Like
YouTube. You're
love suing
YouTube.
I mean, wait. No, it's definitely not that. It's not that YouTube sounds less scary to them. In fact, it probably sounds more scary.
Yeah.
It's that YouTube has the meetings already and they have the content.
They're already in that phase.
For sure. Also want to thank Gazelle for coming back to Tech News Today as a sponsor. I love Gazelle. It is the best, easiest way to sell your gadgets online. If you are extremely lazy like me or not, you're going to find it excellent to use Gazelle to sell your gadgets. All you do is you go to gazelle.com. Let's say I sold my iPhone 3GS this way. You go to gazelle.com. You type in what you've got. You answer a couple questions about the condition it's in, what kind of accessories you still have for it. They give you a price. And if you like the price, you say yes. And then you can print out a label and mail the device into them and get a check sent back. Or if you're extra lazy like me, you can say, send me the box. I don't even want to try to kind of find a box. And then they send you the box with the label and you send it back to them. You don't have to pay any of the shipping costs. You don't have to deal with listing it and answering and worrying. It's all just done for you. Smartphones, MP3 players, ebook readers, laptops, cameras, GPS devices, 20 product categories, 200,000 unique items listed. And if they can't give you cash, they'll still take it because they recycle them responsibly. They have been investigated. They've been vetted as a place that actually doesn't ship them over to a big landfill. So if you want to recycle your gadgets responsibly, Gazelle is another way to do that. Go to gazelle.com, try it out, take a look. You can even go through the process without selling it just to see what they would give you. You don't have to agree once you get a quote. You select the payment method you want, PayPal, check, or gift card. They have Amazon and Walmart gift cards, and you even get a 5% bonus if you use the code TNT. Actually, wait a minute. Did I say 5%? I think I'm wrong about that. I think it's... it's 5%. Okay. That's right. You get a 5% bonus. That's right, because I did that when I got a little extra dollar. So use the code TNT, gazelle.com, 5% bonus, and get rid of some of those old gadgets that are cluttering up your garage. Time for the news views. Remember that $90 million Verizon set aside to compensate overcharged users in $2 to $6 increments? The FCC did not feel $2 to $6 was appropriate for the U.S. government, so Verizon has agreed to pay $25 million into the U.S. Treasury, and they'll leave $52.8 million for the poor schmucks who got overcharged for data they didn't use and never noticed. And then that still doesn't make $90 million, so I don't know what happened to the other money.
It's in the government. Who knows? Walmart-owned video service Vudu is coming to the D-Link Boxy Box. Vudu will be offered as a native app with the full library of Vudu movies, including titles in 1080p HDX video and 5.1 Dolby Digital Plus surround sound. On the Mac and Windows software version of Boxy, the same content will be available, but video output will be limited to standard definition playback.
Apple may get sued over the name iPad in China. A Taiwanese contract manufacturer called ProView makes displays, and they once sold a tablet PC named iPad, a trademark they registered in China and other markets worldwide. They later sold the global trademark. However, when ProView ran into financial trouble and split up, its assets were seized in China, or at least part of them were, and now the creditors say they own the trademark for iPad in China. So they're threatening to sue Apple. Apple's threatening to sue them.
Yeah, but their iPad was iDashPad. That's not the same thing.
There's no,
it could be argued.
No confusion there.
Fans of the Chicago White Sox and Midwestern Mobile Data Service will be happy to know that U.S. Cellular will be getting the Samsung Galaxy Tab. U.S. Cellular, the regional CDMA operator, has been chosen to offer the 7-inch Froyo-based tablet, but the company's not saying when it will be arriving, nor for how much.
That's five. Five places to get the Samsung Galaxy Tab. Zynga, the creators of the popular hit Facebook game Farmville, should be pretty darn well chuffed, as they say Britain.
Dead as, chuffed.
As the company's worth has passed that of Electronic Arts.
Wow.
Okay, on one side, the people that make Madden and The Sims, and then the other side, the people that make Farmville. Farmville is bigger. Zynga creates their income from in-game payments for items across most of their games and partnerships with businesses. You can give away your game and make more money than EA.
This hurts me.
Yeah, it's sad.
it hurts somehow. Deep inside. Don't tell Leo. Yesterday, we read a report that said stable prices might lead to slow holiday sales. However, Today, Sharp and LG warned that a glut of inventory for flat panel display televisions will continue to pressure prices during the holidays. The inventory buildup is the result of a surge in production by global TV maker following reduced output after the financial crisis when consumer spending plunged.
So maybe we will get some LCD price wars. And then maybe people will shop more, and then maybe there will be lots of holiday sales.
And maybe people will end up with a lot of 3D TVs.
And then we'll avoid a double-dip recession.
Ka-ching, ka-ching.
Finally, 1/9 of the American ICBM strike force went offline on Saturday. That's right, I said ICBM, the internet.
The intercontinental
ballistic missiles. This according to a report on the website of The Atlantic magazine. Apparently, a series of control errors multiplied beyond the ability of engineers to compensate. All but one malfunctioning unit is now back online, so no need to move the minute hand on the doomsday clock at all.
Scientists. Yeah, don't worry about it.
We
didn't need them anyways.
Still close to midnight.
we obviously didn't need them.
We're all going to die. All right. Finally, 3G service has arrived at Mount Everest.
Thank God.
Yay. No, this is great for that gasping group of people at the top of the mountain.
The world's highest video call was made earlier today when Ncell, a private telecom firm out of Nepal, launched the country's first 3G service from a facility at the base camp.
Yeah, the base camp is... Yeah. It's the place where all of the trekkers make their final preparations to head up the mountain to get up to the top.
And that's where the journalists go. So they need the 3G data.
To be able to do interviews, to be able to send the information, not have to rely on sat phones because sat phones are expensive, and in that area they are not. It's not the best coverage.
Call me when they get up to the top of the mountain. No, literally, call me. From the top of the mountain.
Yeah, but you know the phone calls are going to be like these weird half-formed sentences because nobody up there has any brain cells or any oxygen feeding their brain cells.
Well, there is cell service up there. There have actually been stories of people making calls and all of that. It just wasn't 3G. So now you can Twitter.
Hello?
How on earth do you dial out on your iPhone if you can't take your gloves off for more than a couple of seconds?
No. Right. Like, you need those special gloves.
And then you lose your fingers.
The little dots. That's right.
All right. Moving on to the calendar. T-Mobile MyTouch is going to be rebranded the MyTouch 4G. That ought to drive everyone crazy since it's not actually a WiMAX or LTE phone. But hey, you know what? You can call it 4G if you want to. Anybody can call it. It's the fourth generation of the MyTouch. Has nothing to do with 4G data. We just wanted you to think that. It is an HSDPA Plus handset. It will be quite fast, but it will not actually be what most people think when they think of 4G. Anyway, it's going to be landing November 3rd. The iPad goes on sale today at Verizon Wireless and AT&T stores. If you buy it at Verizon, don't forget you get the MiFi packaged in with it. And they have a special plans now for the MiFi on iPad. Firefox 4, you excited for it, Kiki? You're wearing some Firefox orange there.
That's more just Giants, Halloween.
Right. Yeah, series.
Sorry, just coincidentally.
Well, good. Well, no, this is good because I was afraid you were going to be really disappointed that Firefox 4 is not going to release until 2011.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I can wait.
Okay.
Or I can download a beta.
Or you could download Windows 7 SP1 release candidate.
Or not.
For your Windows machine.
For my Windows machine, yeah.
Because that launched as well. On to the voicemail, Dwight called in and has a theory regarding why he thinks the Apple App Store for OS X might actually catch on.
AT&T crew, it's Dwight the Key Group calling. You guys talking about the Mac App Store and, you know, what a pain it is to buy apps from independent developers and the sketchy credit card, whatever. I'm a pretty darn big nerd, and I've never purchased any software over the internet unless it was through a quote-unquote app store like Steam. So I'm just curious if anybody else out there has actually bought stuff, but I would guess the majority of people have never done that and won't even want to unless it was in something like an app store. Anyway, keep it up.
All right. This is one of those, are you just inside the Beltway, Merritt? You know, all your Silicon Valley pals buy online software and download it. But what about us working folks? Do you buy online software or you just get box stuff?
I buy online software.
You do? Well, you're one of them Silicon Valley folks.
I'm
so
an
are you.
I'm in here.
I do. However, I would kind of compare it against like maybe even 5-7 years ago when... we were maybe the first ones, maybe I'm speaking for you guys, but I know for myself, I was the first one in my family to actually buy anything online, even if it was shipped. And my parents were scared like crazy to buy anything online.
Yep.
And
I remember now they do. In 1996, I did all my Christmas shopping online. The web.
Wow.
Whoa. Everybody got a lot of books from Amazon.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, though, going online, I do still make sure I usually, if I'm going to download software, I do make sure that I'm getting it from some place that's not going to package it with a bunch of malware or, you know, just other crappy stuff.
Sure. You know, buy your Quicken software from Intuit. You don't just buy it from some third-party vendor site.
Right. I go to places that I know are going to give me just what I'm looking for.
I think that what Dwight is pointing to that I think is important is when people first got the iPhone app store, they didn't want to pay for apps, and they didn't think they would pay for apps. And look at the millions of dollars, billions of dollars made off the app store.
Sure.
What it may do is not so much make you buy online software when you wouldn't have before, but make you buy more often, make you willing to plunk down for some software that you wouldn't have
react to an impulse that's cool, and I could have it right now.
Yeah.
And I can have it right now from the app store, which I know vets the apps that are in it, so I know it's going to be safe. I know that I'm going to get something good, and I know that I trust that my credit card information, my payment information, is not going to end up in somebody's unscrupulous hands.
So, do you think that maybe any fart apps are going to end up in the Apple OS 10 App Store?
Jason, I certainly hope so. I think a lot of people have misconstrued what Steve Jobs and Apple have said on this, and I'd like to take this point to clarify. It's not that they said there shouldn't be any fart apps. It's that they said, we have enough. There's only so many we need. So, yes, there will be fart apps in the Mac App Store.
But what if the next big app just is like the best fart app in the entire world?
We only need so many, Kiki. All right. On to the emails to tnt@twit.tv. Chris Horahan writes in and says, it was recently brought to my attention via Get Him to the Greek, rented on the venerable Netflix, that certain movie studios are now issuing rental-only versions of DVDs that limit the content to the theatrical release. Thus, I was technically forbade from watching the bonus features or extended unrated version of the film unless I smacked down $20 to buy it. While I did enjoy the film, it's a rare occurrence where I actually purchase to own a movie anymore. I can't help but think how the movie studios are just digging a deeper grave for themselves, and yet another instance of punishing truthful consumers of their products. I'm not sure if this is something you're aware of, and I'm curious to hear your commentator's thoughts.
I'm curious if that was the only version available for renting, or if there was an unrated extended version also that he just missed. I do know, I rented from Amazon the Get Him to the Greek extended version, and it was great, and it led me to buy the movie because I now realize I cannot live without it in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but. There were two versions that we could choose from.
Right. You were buying it video streaming, right?
Streaming.
You weren't renting the DVD.
Not renting the DVD.
It's very common now for studios to issue rental copies of DVDs that don't have extras.
All
on
the
it
extra stuff.
Because they want to encourage you to buy the DVD if you want the extras. So that is probably what he ran into, is he got the disc. And it's one of those, this is the rental version. The rental version doesn't have extras.
Which will probably shoot them in the foot, because that's kind of the fun part. And also, I don't know if I would have been so excited about the movie if I hadn't seen the extended version.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Not quite as good.
It's one thing to make you want to own it because you watched it and now you want to keep it.
Uh-huh.
It's another thing to not make you want to own it because you didn't see the part that would have made you want to own it in the first place.
Why do you keep things from me, internet, or not internet, disc M-P-A-A. Provider people, NPAA,
if
yes.
that's your real name.
Hi, Tom, Becky, and Sarah. I wonder why you don't advertise your YouTube channel, Twit. It's the place where I get the old episodes when I don't catch them live. I prefer YouTube to downloading from Twit and playing after. Kaylin.
Hey, thanks, Kaylin. It's a good point. We don't talk about it enough, but youtube.com/twit We put all of our episodes up there.
Everything's up there.
You can watch them on your
Network.
Google TV and the YouTube app.
Yeah, and there's some great outtakes from prime moments in between shows or during shows.
Yeah.
Some fun stuff
from
up
such
there.
Blockbuster shows as this one.
Yes.
Yes. Blockbusters. Yes. And Dr. Kiki Science Hour.
Wow, what a difference. And finally, Phil wrote in. That was a Blockbuster reference. Phil wrote in and said, just wanted to drop my 2 cents on the PlayStation phone. Nobody seems to be commenting on the multi-touch surface on the front of the keypad, which I believe to be the savior of portable gaming with analog sticks. iPhone games have their virtual analog sticks, which I find to be a right pain to use because you can't feel how far you're pushing the sticks. It looks like Sony may have solved this problem. Look at the multi-touch pad on the front of the controller, and you can see what appears to be two metal pips. I believe these to be a sort of pseudo-physical virtual stick, with the pips acting as the center points for each stick, providing a reference point you can feel as you move your thumbs around the touch surface. This is something that we could possibly see in the PSP2, or perhaps this is the PSP2. It would also bring the PSP control scheme more in line with an actual PlayStation controller.
That's awesome. I did not notice that in the first time I saw this image yesterday. It didn't even cross my mind what those were doing there, but that makes a whole lot of sense, actually.
Leave it to the Irish. I mean, the mechanical engineers.
How about just the mechanical engineers?
That's what I meant.
Right.
No, I mean, it would, in all seriousness, a mechanical engineer would notice that and see, like, oh, that's got to be how that works.
Well, there's a lot of something like this. It seems like an odd thing to just stick in the middle of the controller. It should have a function. Design and function do go hand in hand very, very often. So why not?
Yeah. All right, thanks for pointing that out, Phil.
Yeah.
That's cool. And I think that's that might be a really interesting way of handling that. It's not as good as a control stick, obviously, but it at least gives you a home for your fingers.
Absolutely.
To feel their way back to. All right, don't forget, folks, Dr. Kiki Science Hour this week in science. You can see more Kiki.
GTT.
Check it out at twit.tv. Also, that's right, Green Tech Today. And you can email us. When you email us, say hi to Kiki, too. TNT@twit.tv, or you can give us a call. 260-TNT-SHOW is our phone number. And find us on the web at twit.tv/TNT. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.